You see, Christ never fails. If Jesus said it, it's true. But there's some in this room that say, it hasn't worked for me yet. There's something wrong. There's something missing. Maybe it's because you're not depending on Christ. Maybe it's because you're depending on Antichrist. Because if Jesus said it, then it's going to work. Now, you must be listening to someone other than Christ. Close. But see, the Antichrist isn't going to come with fangs and horns and a pitchfork. He knows even you're too smart for that. And he's not going to come with a neon sign. He knows some of you are too smart for that. He's going to come and he's going to appear to be Christ. And you're going to have to know the difference. And I'm going to share with you how you can know whether you're dealing with Christ or Antichrist. First of all, I'm going to tell you when Antichrist comes. And let me tell you something else. The Antichrist cannot come into your life unless you call him in. You have to do something to bring the delusion on yourself. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time. In other words, he says, you can know when it's Antichrist by knowing when it's the last time, because last time always brings the Antichrist. Now, so that you can know who the Antichrist is or how he acts, the definition of the word means an opponent of the Messiah. It means one who is opposite of Christ. Anybody could recognize that. But it also means someone who's instead of Christ. Now it's getting a little fuzzier, isn't it? And here's come where it really gets subtle. Antichrist means one who is in addition to Christ. Be careful, you theologians that go do your own studying and try to figure out yourself. You're adding some things. Antichrist also means one who is in the room of Christ. In other words, he appears to be Christ. It might be something you added, something you took away, something that's opposite, something that's instead of. But Jesus is the truth. So you go to adding or taking away from it, and you've got the Antichrist on your hands. Now, you can know when you've done that by knowing what the last time means. When it's the last time, you got Antichrist on your hands. The Antichrist cannot come whenever he feels like it. The delusion can't come, and you don't have to worry about what I say. You don't have to worry about going home and analyzing and reanalyzing and play your video cassette of the Jim Jones story just to make sure it's not happening again. You don't have to do that. Because I'm going to tell you what you have to do to ensure that Antichrist is going to be in your face. Just make sure you get into the last time. The last time basically means finally high time. It doesn't mean the end of the world, although that's going to mean that then. It means high time. Finally high time. So when you get to the point in your life where it's high time, you've heard messages, and God says, look, it's high time. When are you going to change? Now see, there's two times. There's the proper time and there's high time. Now those individuals that choose to believe the word at the proper time don't ever have to worry about the Antichrist. And some would say, well, when is the proper time? Today is the day. But some of you like to wait until it's high time or the last time. Now, high time means a time beyond the proper time, but before it's too late. That's what you're all banking on. You know God loves you. And you say, oh, it's never too late. No, it isn't. But it's high time. It's beyond the proper time, but it's still not too late. And when you pass the proper time and you're in between the proper time and the time that it's not too late, that's where all your delusion comes in. That's the Antichrist's dominion. And that's why you get to that proper time, and then you don't want to make the decision, and then all of a sudden you start figuring, well, maybe, and this, and da-dum-da-dee-dum, and poom-poom-poom, and before you know it, you're in the high time. You've gone past the proper time, but it's not too late yet. And most of you, all of you know how much Jesus loves you. You also know how grace works, so you know it's not too late. What you didn't know, it's past the proper time. And between the proper time and the time that it's too late, you're not going to get any truth. You got the Antichrist. You're going to find ways to go against the very thing that you want. Now, sometimes you wait until your marriages or your health or whatever, it's too late. And then we start over again, then we get to that proper time, and then you say, dum-dum-dum-dum-dum, Jesus loves me, this I know, and it's not too late, and the Bible tells me so, and we pass the proper time, but it's still not too late. So then you go out and buy whatever your vice is and do it again, and then you get sick and tired, and we start all over again, we counsel, or you come to church, and then it comes to that proper time, you won't do it, but dum-ba-dee-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum, and here we go again. Now it's past proper time, but it's still not too late. You are dumb, you know that? How many times are we going to do this? You see, the fact that you sit there and you can and you know that this is true, and then you leave here and all of a sudden you can't put 2 cents together. You've passed the proper time. Because you're depending on the fact that it's not too late. And the word here says, when you go to the high time, beyond the proper time, but before it's too late, that's the gate, that's the time that Antichrist comes. And he's not going to come in there and say, burn your Bible. He's going to say, let's check this guy out. After all, is this not Fred's son? What does he know? God loves you too. Who's he? He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know what you're going through. Well, see, that's the way Antichrist operates. Because for you to know this and for me to prove to you that you're in high time, let's go to the book of prophecy, Daniel. Daniel, the 7th chapter. And I'm going to tell you how the Antichrist talks and acts when it's high time. And he can't do it until it's high time. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25. If some of you don't recognize yourself in this passage, I'll buy your lunch for the rest of the week. It says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. You see, what's going to happen is you are going to speak against the Most High, and then that's going to cause you, when you speak against the Most High, you're going to wear out. And I'm going to get a little ahead of myself, but you know what the Hebrew word for wear out is? Blah. That's when you get the blahs. That's all that depression, and you can't figure this out, and you got the blah. You're wearing out. Why? Because you spoke against the Most High. That's what the Antichrist does. That's his whole thing. He speaks against the Most High. Now, some of you would say, well, I never talked against God. I didn't say talk against God. I said speak against the Most High. Well, who's the Most High? You thought that meant God. It can. And in spiritual context, it does. But it doesn't mean just God. It means whoever is an authority against, over you in any context, you speak against that person, and that's the Antichrist talking. See, God didn't put you down there to be a Broadway critic. He put you down there to learn something. And the reason you're down there is because you don't know. Now, he said the first characteristic is he will speak words against the Most High. Words means a discourse, or an answer against the Most High. Discourse means a long and formal treatment of a subject, but it comes from the word dis, which means God of the lower world. In other words, it's speaking long and passionately the opinions of the God of the lower world against the Most High, which the battle is between the lowest to the highest. Just that simple. Now, you see, Jesus came once already to fight the battle. He's not going to dirty his hands again. He's sending in the second string. See, it's our job, and it's a battle of words. That's all it is. We are warriors. We are representatives of the Most High, and our weapons are words. But so is the Antichrist. That's all he has, is words. So when I listen to the words that some of you talk, I can't help this, I don't know, those are words of the Antichrist. And then I have to tell you, you do know, and I'm not buying that, and that's a lie from the pit of hell, and the Bible says you can, and Jesus is telling the truth, and you're not. It's a war of words. And some of you sometimes think, well, he doesn't love me, he's so stern with me. No, we're doing battle. And you brought your puny Antichrist words, and you're upset because they won't stand up to the Word of God. You want me to agree with you, and I'm not going to. So you see, this is a battle of words between the representative of God, who he calls the Most High. Now, not the Most High in terms of God, the Most High in terms of this room. You go to work, you got a Most High. How come you don't have any problem calling and looking and giving respect to your boss at work? Because they put the bucks in your hands. That's why, you greedy little thing, you. But boy, you get super spiritual and you say, well, in church, we can't have anybody in authority over us. If you were on the payroll, I guarantee you, you'd jump through whatever hoop I gave you. You do it at work every day. You kiss up to your boss up one side and down the other. Whatever it takes to sell, whatever you're selling or whatever you're doing, you've done it, you will do it, and you'll do it again, you hypocrite. And then you come to church and you want to get all this pious autonomy, and you're so worried that you might be led by someone. Well, you're led by the nose every day for bucks, for prestige, and for power. You say, now he said he shall speak words against the Most High. Against means as an adversary in a sidling manner. It means to sidle off. In other words, this is the way the Antichrist speaks against the Most High. And understand this, this word Most High can be anybody that's in authority. It can be your husband, he's the Most High in the house. It can be your boss, he's the Most High where you work. It can be the police officer on the corner. He's Most High than you in that context. It can be the preacher. It can even be you. Because in your life, you are the one that has dominion. So see, if you're against the one who has dominion and power, then you got to be against all of them. So pretty soon, you're even against you. And that's why when you say, I don't want to do that, you say, who are you? You don't have any power authority. You don't recognize the authority of the Most High. But Brother Reuben, I've been saying this, but you don't recognize the authority of the Most High, whether it's me or you or anybody else. You're a hypocrite. You think it's going to work when you speak it, but when I speak it or someone else, all of a sudden you've got a choice. No, you're either going to be under the authority or you're not. And that's why when you speak, nothing happens. Because, see, you are your own Most High. You have dominion over you. That's why you can't say no to anything. You don't have authority and dominion over anything because you always speak against the Most High. And you do it in a sidling manner. Sidle means to move sideways as a sidewinder. It means to move in a shy or stealthy manner, to move laterally or obliquely. Now see, the individual that's moving laterally is the one that comes to church every day, but see, they're not moving forward. They're not getting any better. They're not moving forward. They're not moving backward. They're not getting any worse. What are they doing? Sidewinding. Staying right where they're at. Oh, I'm not doing any more of that. Are you doing any less? No. Well, then you're moving laterally. That's a desert rattlesnake moves. That's what why they call them sidewinders. See, they have to move sideways. You expend a lot of energy. You hallelujah up one side and down the other, but you're no closer to what you want now than you were before. You're no further, but you're moving sideways. And you see, that's the way you kid yourself. And you think you're kidding the Lord because you're doing a lot of activity. Now, I thank God for everything that's happened here. I thank God for the singers, and I thank God for everybody that helps. But that's not getting you anywhere. That's lateral movement. And I'm not opposed to that. But when you're substituting that for moving forward, you're being a sidewinder. You are speaking against the Most High. Because the Most High, the Most High of the Most High, told me to tell you that you can move forward, that you can get it done, and it doesn't take the rest of your life. But you're moving sideways. You're sidling off. You're moving laterally or obliquely. Now remember, this is a war of words, and I can always recognize the individual who's moving obliquely by just listening to you. Obliquely, or moving obliquely, means to have a slanted position or direction. No matter what I say, you've got to slant it. You got to go tell someone what I said. You never tell them exactly what you slant it your way. And why do people say, Reuben said? Because your word and 25 cents will get you a cup of coffee. Your word isn't worth a nickel, so you try to use mine. And you slant what I say. You're moving obliquely. I know how to speak, and I'm not ashamed to speak, and I'm not afraid to speak. If you want someone to know what I said, tell them to call me or take them the tape. Don't you tell them what I said. I'll do it. And incidentally, if you want to know what I said, don't ask somebody else. Ask me. I'll tell you right in your face. I don't have any problem with it. So you see, the individual who moves obliquely has a slanted position. Obliquely, or to move obliquely, also means not level or upright, not straight and to the point. See, you can always tell a person who's moving obliquely, who's speaking against the Most High. You can never get them to the point. You ask them a question, they'll answer everything but the question you asked. They'll raise issues. They got ignoratio elenchis coming out of their ears. They're never to the point. Obliquely also means not straightforward, not direct and evasive. You can tell someone who's speaking against the Most High when you ask them a certain question. You say, well, what about that? Don't you trust me? No, the question was, what? What is that? And then the answer is, don't you trust me? I never asked you if you were trustworthy. I asked you what that was. So you see, the individual who answers with an evasive question is a sidewinder. The trust of the individual is not the issue. If you listen to the question and answer it, you're being straightforward. But the Antichrist will always give you an evasive answer. Will either give you an answer that doesn't relate to the question, or he'll raise a new subject. He'll try to put you on the defensive. He'll try to raise an issue that isn't there. Evasive. Obliquely also means unequal. And this individual, this Antichrist, will cause you not only to be evasive, but it'll cause you to move laterally. And lateral means to drift off to the side and off the parallel of the main drift. In other words, you're close, but you're drifting. Obliquely also means to be slanted. And slanted means basically slippery. Did you know? I thought slanted just meant crooked. The basic root meaning of the word slanted or oblique or to speak against is to be slippery. And slanted also means to distort so as to express a particular bias. In other words, this is the individual that either won't talk or won't talk straight. He's one who speaketh with a forked tongue. You see, you never get a straight answer out of such an individual. Sometimes I wonder even if we're talking about the same subject. And I always like it when I get two people, especially husband and wives, it can be parents and children, who both were in the same room at the same time and heard the same thing. And then they tell me the story, and I'm telling you, there is no similarity, to protect the innocent or otherwise. They both distorted it in order to express their own particular bias. See, this is the way the Antichrist works. Now remember, none of this happens until you come to the time that it's time to make a decision and you start procrastinating. Now it's high time. You just passed the proper time, still not too late, but it's past the proper time. Now it's when you start all your lying. Now it's when you start all your excuses. That's when you want to know if I've got a degree or not. That's when you want to know what I did and this and then bumpity-dump and we go off all into the wild blue yonder. Why? Because it's high time. It's time for you to make a decision and you don't want to. So you see, at the minute you pass that proper time, you've just invited the Antichrist in, and all these thoughts start coming, all these thoughts of indifference, of indecision, of different points of view, and all those things that were so clear to you while you sat here. And you determined and you prayed and you just knew that you were going to do it, but you didn't. And then you leave, and all of a sudden, all these different anxieties and questions start coming up that you didn't have before. It's high time, that's why. You missed the proper time. It's still not too late, but that's Antichrist time. That's the time when you start getting all of the delusions. That's the time you start getting into indecision. That's the time you start worrying what you're going to lose and what's going to happen and this and that, and all the fears and all the anxieties come in. Why? Because it's the last time. It's high time. You've passed the proper time. And why do you pass the proper time? Because you don't want to change. And you know just as sure as you're sitting there, if you can stall long enough from saying yes, you get into high time. And then all of a sudden, you're not pressuring yourself anymore. You're not saying, I want to do this, I want it, I've got to do it, it's time to do it. All of a sudden you're saying, well, maybe. And besides that, God loves me, and I'll make the decision next week. Well, you see, you just went in to the high time. Now you got the Antichrist. Now, he speaks against the Most High. See, the Antichrist in you, when you pass that proper time to make a decision, will speak against the Most High. Most High can mean God, and it is definitive with him, but it basically means anybody who's supreme, in a higher elevation, or is uppermost. It says you speak against the uppermost. Uppermost means the highest in place, position, power, authority, or influence. In other words, when you get to that point, you automatically are against anybody that has a higher position than you. Ladies, that's why you can't stand to be told by your husband anything, because you're in high time. That's why you go to work, and when you're in high time, that job that you loved yesterday, you can't stand it today, because everybody that's in authority seems to be telling you things you don't want to hear. And then you talk to yourself, being the authority over your own body, and say, I'm not going to let this get to me. And within 5 minutes, you're blubbering all over the place because you even speak against yourself as the Most High. You see, God is saying, you better be careful. The people, the things, the powers that be are ordained of God. You speak against someone in authority, and you're against everybody that's in authority. And what Satan wants, he says, if you won't recognize anybody in authority over you, anybody includes you. Now you don't have any authority over you. Why? Because you've given it up. Why? Because you spoke against the Most High. Why? Because you're taking the Antichrist. Why? Because you waited past the proper time. But it's not too late. Uppermost also means the one who is highest in influence. Now, I'm the highest one in place. I mean, physically, this is the highest place in the room. Positionally, this is the highest place. Behind the pulpit as the pastor, this is the highest position in the church. For the rest of the sermon, the one who has the highest authority is vested in me until the sermon is over. Until this sermon is over, unless you have some magical powers, the only one that can influence in this room is the one who's doing the speaking, which happens to be me. So you see, during this time here, I am the Most High. Now, when you get to work, if you happen to be the Most High at work, you're the highest in place, position, power, authority, and influence. But you see, you didn't recognize authority here, but when you get to work, you want your authority recognized. It doesn't work. That's why your little kids slap you in the face and say, "Who are you, old lady? Get out of my life. I'm not going to do it." No. Why? Because you speak against the Most High. You don't recognize authority. You're afraid we're going to have a cult, so your children know and say, "Oh, watch out. I can't do what this old lady says. We're liable to start a cult here. Jane Jones." You better be careful. See, God says, "I put people in authority for a particular reason." And in a minute, I'm going to show you, you don't have to worry about that person who's in authority. Uppermost also means the predominant one, the one who is foremost, the one who is in the highest place, the highest position, and the highest rank. Now, I know spiritually that means God. But see, we are not in heaven. We are here. We're in a physical earth. So physically, every day you have people that are in authority over you, and you have people you're in authority over, and you certainly should be in authority over yourself. So you see, what God wants you to do is protect the integrity of the powers that he ordained. Now, when Jesus said, "Reuben, I give you power and dominion, and whatever you say is the only thing that can happen in your life. By your words you shall be justified, by your words you shall be condemned, and that's the authority that I give you. You're the Most High. You're my representative in your life." Well, how am I going to recognize that authority in me if the same God turns around and says, "There's your boss. When you go to work, you're working for him. Do it as unto the Lord, and don't be insubordinate." And I say, "No, I don't like him." Wives, how can you say no to your husband, yes to the preacher? How can you say no to your husband, no to the preacher, and yes to God? And ultimately, you can't even say no on your own behalf. Why? Because you speak against the Most High. The word "high" also means something above another similar thing. Now, there's a lot of similar things in this room. In fact, that's all of it. We are all similar. We have a lot in common. We're all sinners. And we're all stupid without the Lord. We're all helpless. So we are all similar things. However, again, for the duration of this sermon, there is something above the other similar things. And that happens to be me. And I just represent the authority. I am not the authority. You don't have to do this. See, he didn't say, "And they shall do things against the Most High." He said, "He shall speak words against the Most High." Now, for those of you that are Jim Jones oriented, I did not say you had to obey what I said. I said, "Don't speak against it. If you don't like it, shut up. If you have some questions, ask me." All this is saying is, don't you go out and speak against the authority. He didn't say obey it. You have free choice. You can say yes to it, or you can say no to it, and I could care less. But the warning I'm giving you, don't you speak against it. Don't you go out and try to tell other people what you think about it. You're making a big mistake there, because he said the Antichrist will speak words against the Most High. See, God is giving you the latitude to say yes or no whenever you're ready. And if you want to wait for a high time, wait for a high time. It doesn't matter when you want to do it. It doesn't even matter if you want to do it. This warning is, don't speak against the one who told you what he had to say. Now, you and I both know you can go to work and the boss can say something and you may not like it. And if you don't do it, you can also always get another chance. They'll give you a verbal warning. They'll give you a written warning because you didn't do right. But if the boss says something and then you walk around telling everybody, don't do it, he's wrong. He's absolutely wrong. We shouldn't do it. And you organize against him, you're gone that day. No more chances. You're through. That's it. And you see, that's all this is saying. God is saying, look, if you don't do it, let's talk about it. I'll try to convince you. Grace will cover you. Forgiveness will cover you. You don't have to do it. You should, but you don't have to. But what he's saying, you better not speak against it. That's the Antichrist, the one who speaks against the person in authority. Now, how can you tell if you're speaking against authority? How can you tell if the Antichrist is motivating you? Well, the next part of that verse says, after he speaks words against the Most High, he wears out the saints of the Most High. So you see, those that the Antichrist is using to speak against the authority get worn out. You can look this up in your Hebrew dictionary, but the Hebrew word for wear out is blah. And it's where we get our B-L-A, blah. It's, I believe, where we get our word B-L-A-H, and you know what the blahs are. But let me prove to you why I think that. Because you won't look up the word blah and it won't say this. But let me tell you why I know this is what it means. The word blah, B-L-A, which translates to wear out, means to afflict, to consume, to fail, and to wear out, but only in a mental sense. See, this means nothing's really happening except in your mind. All those aches and pains are in your mind. All that depression, it's in your mind. All that worry, it's in your mind. All that anxiety, it's in your mind. That's the way the Antichrist works. It's all in your mind. You're dumb. You're trying to find physical cures for things that are only going on in your mind. You're sick in the head is what your problem is. You can take Tylenol till you're spitting them out of your ears, and that's not going to help you because you're sick in the head. See, you're worn out. All these things are happening only in a mental sense. So the first definition is to afflict in a mental sense. Afflict means to cause pain or suffering or to distress very much, but it's all mental. You see, what the Lord wants you to understand is when you pass the proper time and go into high time, you're going to distress yourself mentally for things that have no bearing, outside influence and circumstances that have no bearing on you whatsoever. If I could handcuff you, blindfold you, gag you, and stick you in a dark room somewhere and not tell you what was going on, you'd be lost. You say, well, I don't have anything to worry about. See, there's no way that you can know that there's anything to worry about without your senses. So if I cut out your senses, you wouldn't know. And spiritually, that what has to happen. We walk by faith, not by sight, not by senses. So you see, the individual who's wearing out because he's speaking against the Most High. And some of you say, well, I never would speak against the Most High. I've heard you. Well, I don't understand why this isn't working for me. I've asked the Lord to help me and it just hasn't worked. I need something more. Well, wait a minute. You're speaking against the Most High. Because the Most High told you that he would send you a messenger and that nothing should by any means hurt you. All things will work together for your good. By his stripes you are healed. And all the multitude of promises that you've heard, you won't repeat those. You will give anti-promises. I still hurt. I'm still not healed. I still don't understand. I still can't quit. I still haven't quit. I still don't know. Well, you're in high time. And you see, I understand at that point it's Christ speaking through me and the Antichrist speaking through you, because you say you can't. And Jesus said you can. And I understand how that works, and I know where you're at. You're in high time. But you see, you're so spiritual and you think you're so smart, because the Antichrist is slick, but he doesn't have a lick of wisdom. And all you have to do is apply logic to what he says, and it falls apart, just like that. And that's why some of you shy away, because your logic is non-existent. The next definition of the word wear out or blah means to fail in a mental sense. It is amazing to me, you can go to a doctor, get physically examined, he says you're all right, and mentally you're still failing. Mentally things still hurt. You are speaking against the Most High. You are failing in a mental sense. The word fail or blah means to be lacking or insufficient in a mental sense. This is the individual you can tell them until you're purple what they have in Christ Jesus, but in a mental sense, they're still lacking or insufficient. I can't. I don't know how. I don't understand. It doesn't work for me. It's all mental, dummy. That's the Antichrist talking. He's got you failing in your mind. To fail also means to lose power in a mental sense. And that's when you say, I can't help it. I don't know what I'm doing. I tried. I'll try it again tomorrow. And we start the whole thing all over again. This is total foolishness. In fact, it borders on insanity, I'll be very frank with you. Means in a mental sense, you have lost power. Now, it amazes me that a child of God who can operate a vehicle, drive to work, do some technical things, figure out things, it takes training, can't tell their own body, don't go to the refrigerator and stuff your face. That's too hard. We've lost power mentally. Well, you see, what's happening is that's the Antichrist talking. And I recognize what's happening, because in a mental sense, you're a mess. But in a real sense and in a spiritual sense, you're as good as you're ever going to get. The problem is that your mental capacity and your physical are as far apart as they can be. See, Christ lives in you, but you're anti-Christ. You're anti yourself. You thought he was outside of you. You thought it was someone coming in the clouds. He's in your underwear right now. He's right in there with you. To fail also means to be deficient or negligent in an obligation or duty. You hate being the spiritual head in a mental sense. But God says, I don't care if you hate it in a mental sense. You still are it. And I'm still going to hold you accountable for it. You are it physically. I don't care what you say mentally. You are it. But the Antichrist says, oh, you can't. You don't know how. And besides, is that not Fred's son? See, you speak words against the Most High. Now, you think that's going to get you off the hook, but then you go to work. Or you go and you want to do something you do want to do, and you find yourself deficient and negligent in that obligation and duty as well. And then that's when you come and say, Brother Reuben, what's wrong? You're just deficient and negligent in a mental sense in the things you don't want to do, and that makes you just as inadequate in the things you do want to do. You don't pick and choose. Yes or no. There's no in between, no maybes. Either you're in or you're out. It's either the right time or high time. It's either the proper time or high time. You make up your mind. But you can't choose where you're going to be deficient in. You're either going to be deficient in everything or you're going to be efficient in everything. The choice is yours. But you want to pick and choose. I'd like to be efficient in that. Hey, baby, come here. Let's be efficient. And then when it's time to be the spiritual head, all of a sudden, you want to be negligent. And you make these long and passionate speeches about the physical needs that you have unanswered. But you don't give one lick of promise, nothing to the spiritual needs. And I know what I'm talking about. I've counseled with enough of you. And I'm not only talking about the people in this room. I know what causes marriages to go down the tubes, to be deficient or negligent in an obligation or duty, in a mental sense. See, that's the whole irony of it. None of this is really a reality. It's a mental concept that you've bought because you're in high time. Because you will not listen, that now is the time to get this done. What are you waiting for? How much time does it take? How much more Jesus do you need? What does he have to do? Be twins, triplets, quintuplets? How many Jesuses do you need? I thought one was enough. You're waiting for another one? Maybe you're waiting for his cousin. I don't know. Some of the time, I don't know what you're waiting for. And then I finally realized, now you're waiting for high time, aren't you? You're waiting for that time when it's past the proper time, but it's still not too late. See, that way you can say, oh, the Lord loves me. It's never too late. No, it isn't. But it is high time. And when you're in that high time, you will never speak the truth. It's the Antichrist speaking, not Jesus Christ. Fail also means to be unsuccessful in obtaining a desired end in a mental sense. Now, everybody in this room has a desired end for something that's going on in their lives. Everybody. But he says, you know, it's past the proper time, and it's high time, so now you are in the position of being, you're wearing out. You now are unsuccessful in obtaining that desired end, comma, in a mental sense. Can you see this is all a battle in the mind? Can you see that the only thing the Lord can do is convince you? Can you see how much authority you really have? You don't have to worry about being dragged, kicking, and screaming by me or anybody else. You have to consciously and mentally make a decision one way or the other. You are the boss. You have an absolute fail-safe system. You can say yes or no. You've been saying yes to the wrong all your life. I don't understand why it's such a hard concept to say, no, I have the right to say yes to the right. Well, you ought to know that. You've been saying yes to the wrong. The word fail also means to become bankrupt in a mental sense, to be useless in a mental sense, and to be disappointed in a mental sense. In other words, what this is really saying is God gave you and Jesus' word is true and you have it physically, you have it in reality, and the only place the devil, the Antichrist, can take it away from you is mentally. He has to convince you that what I'm telling you is untrue and what he's telling you is true. And I would think that that by itself would be enough for you to make the right decision. Because he's telling you, you can't, you never will, you might as well give up, there's no hope. And I'm telling you that today, right now, you can be healed, you can have everything God, you've already got it, you're just not enjoying it. Oh, that's kind of hard to believe. Well, you just believe from the other side that you're nothing. Boy, I'm telling you, sometimes it amazes me. I think these people are out to lunch. You know, that's why I buy you. I have a desire. I have a lot of desire to take you guys to lunch. Because you're always out to lunch anyway. The word wear out, blah, also means to consume in a mental sense. It means to use up and to spend wastefully and to squander. You all use up and you wastefully squander your marriages. You squander your health. You squander your peace in a mental sense. How many times do people say, well, call me and say, well, I'm so nervous and I don't know what's wrong. What is the reason? Well, I don't know. Well, if you don't have a reason for being nervous, how can you be nervous? That's not logical. You can't have a pain without a cause. You can't have anything without a cause. Now, if you don't know what the cause is, how can you have the effect? See, effect doesn't come without cause. Unless it's mental, unless you're dealing with the Antichrist, unless you're in high time, unless you've passed the proper time, but it's not too late. Now you start getting all these mental distractions and these psychosomatic kinds of symptoms where you really, truly, the situation, the reality of today has to be in compliance with what the Lord said. So you have to put your mind on yesterday or tomorrow or Fantasyland. You go to Disneyland and you go to Tomorrowland or Fantasyland. And some of you Frontierland, you theologians, you poopy popes. You're into Tomorrowland. You're predicting, and Criswell predicts. Well, if Criswell is going to tell you what happened tomorrow, then he doesn't even know what's happening today. But you see, what's happening here is that all of these things are going on mentally. Now, if I can succeed in putting your mind back on the circumstances, back on today, back on the reality, this mental blah never works, does it? You've sat here, all of you, in counseling, and I said, why? Tell me why. Well, I don't know. Well, then why? Well, how can it be if you don't? There's no source. And the minute we talk about it logically, you walk out and say, oh, thanks, Brother Reuben, I feel so much better. Proper time, they agreed, but they didn't do anything. And now it's high time. Past the proper time, but it's still not too late. And that's when you start having all your indecisions out there. And little by little, you slip right back into it, and then you come back for the next service, stepping on your lower lip. And sometimes I can see the blahs in you. They just come right out of you. Now let me tell you how this wear out thing works. I wish I could finish this, but I'm not going to. I'll finish this Sunday, Lord willing. I'll finish with this last definition of the word wear out. It means to impair and to consume and to diminish something by constant friction. But understand this, we're talking in a mental sense only. Mental friction, opposing thoughts. Now you thought you knew everything. You thought you had all the answers. Then you come to church and you hear an opposing thought. Now you have mental friction. Now you make the right decision here, but you don't take action on it. So now you leave with two opposing thoughts. And out there there's friction, and in a mental sense it starts consuming. What is friction? Remember, this is in a mental sense. Friction is what causes things to wear away. It's what causes things to wear out. It's friction. Now, we're talking mental sense, remember. Friction means disagreement or conflict because of a difference of opinion. That's why you have the blahs. It's the opinion of the Antichrist opposed to the opinion of the Christ, which came through the Most High, through the authority in your life. And now it starts wearing away. Why? Because you won't make a decision. See, you walk in here and your decision is already, it's hopeless. I can't do that. Now, you've made your decision. You said it's hopeless. That's the only thought you have. And then you sit here and you get an opposing opinion. And then you sit there and you say, whoa, God says it's different than that, and I thought it was this way. And then you say, oh, well, this is wonderful. Praise the Lord. Then you walk out with both opinions, you dummy. You just walked out with friction. At least when you came in, you were ignorant in your stupidity, and you didn't know you were killing yourself. But see what you're doing? You're put in a position where you now have an opposing opinion, but you won't choose one or the other. Spit one out. Put it back. If you don't like to say so, don't say amen if you don't mean it. At least you won't have friction out there. And at least you'll die sooner, but you won't have this friction. friction means a disagreement or a conflict because of the difference of opinion. It also means disagreement or conflict because of difference of temperament. So you see what the Lord is really saying here. When you get to the last time, and right now we are just about to high time. It's just about, in fact, it is time right now to make a decision. In about 3 minutes, this message is going to be over. And if you haven't made a decision to dump your opinion and take this one, then you're going out with two. It's high time, it's friction time, and you will talk yourself into whatever you want by the time you get home. Some of you will have yourself talked into it by the time you hit the parking lot. Now, I could care less. I've done my job. When you come back Sunday, though, I'm going to share with you how this kind of mental conflict brings damnation. Yes, a Christian can bring damnation onto their physical body, not their soul. That's saved. But you can bring damnation onto your physical body and your physical circumstances. How? Because of this mental conflict. Because of this mental cancer that you have, where you absolutely are insisting that you have to take these two opinions with you. Now, what do you do when you walk out of here with two minds? You need two heads, right? Well, if Jesus is your head, where are you going to put that other opinion? You need another head. You need another authority. Now you've got two minds and two heads. You're now schizophrenic. You have two minds. Well, you have two heads and two minds, so now you need two eyes, two sets of eyes, so you can see things both ways. You know what double vision or seeing things two ways means? Literally, the word that it comes from is paranoia. This is the individual that sees things two ways. They're paranoid. They see things the way they are and the way they think they are. Two-headed, double-minded, double vision, paranoia. Psychiatrists don't even know this. They're going to learn it one day. They don't know it yet. And then the ultimate thing that will happen, and I hear it every day, from you double-headed, double-minded, double vision, schizophrenic, paranoid schizophrenics. I can tell when you're that way because then you become double-tongued. After all, I mean, if you've got two heads, two minds, two sets of eyes, then you got to have two. Somebody, you can't talk both. You need a forked tongue for that. You got to have two tongues. You got to be double-tongued. In other words, you speak one way in church. When you open up your Bible, it's amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, Jesus loves me, this I know. And then you switch over to the other one when you get to past the proper time. And then it's, oh, I don't know, my God, what am I going to do? I've done everything I can do. Lord, where are you? I need more of you. How much more do you want? And then some have the nerve to tell me, well, I need to hear more. And after 4 solid hours of sermons during the week that you've listened to one-third of, you have the nerve to tell me you want to hear more? Listen, 1/100th of what you hear would be enough to heal you of everything. This is overkill. I mean, I'm just doing over and over because you are so stubborn. You're a mental case. That's what the problem is. And it's this friction that's caused. And some would say, well, this friction then is the problem. It's your only solution. Because you see, prior to the time that you get a different opinion, you thought you knew everything. You thought you had all the answers. And why do you think people ultimately commit suicide or turn to drugs or alcohol? Because they think they really have all the answers and they say they don't work and there is nothing else, so I might as well eat, drink, and be merry. This hell, this life is hell. There's no sense because I know everything and it doesn't work. And that's why people kill themselves, some slowly with pizzas. Some of you OD on pizza. You like dead, fermented food. You like things that are spicy and excited and fermented because that's the way you are. You don't like calm food. You're killing yourself. So see, that individual who thinks they are the authority, then once they recognize that everything they know and believe ultimately doesn't work, they get frustrated to the point of exasperation and give in to whatever, that individual is gone. You ought to thank God for coming to a place where you get a different opinion that causes friction. Because then you become aware there's something wrong here. I'm nervous. I know you're nervous. And I'm going to tell you why you're nervous. Because you haven't chosen between the two. But at least you're listening to both. And now you've got two minds, two heads, two sets of eyes, and two tongues. I'll guarantee you that would make anybody nervous. Makes you ugly, too. And your haircut bills are going to go up. You're going to have to spend twice as much for toothpaste. You're going to double everything. Simply because you will not make a choice. And therefore you walk out with the friction, get into high time, but it's not too late. And that's when the Antichrist, remember, he can't deal with you until you pass the time of decision. And right now, as soon as I call on one of these men to pray, the proper time for decision on what you heard is past. We move into high time. And you're going to be amazed as soon as you get into high time. For those of you that are silly enough still not to make a decision, you're going to be amazed. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to start making sense to you in a few minutes. And if that doesn't panic you, nothing I can say, if you making sense to you does not panic you, I don't have a better argument than that. I'll try you again next service. Brother Rick, would you close the services in prayer?